And now, an Envision Financial podcast with Luke Smith on Canberra's 2CC.
And Mr. Luke Smith from Envision Financial joins me in the studio. Did you notice that that's actually a bit of a play on words? Money matters.
I guess they matter.
Because money matters.
I like it.
And it's anyway, sorry. We're here today. You could be more enthusiastic, you know.
Well, you know.
What happened?
You've been playing it for months. You've had a hard week, haven't you?
Well,
I have had a hard week, but that's by the by. It's Friday afternoon.
It's Friday Let's have a laugh. That's right. All right. Today we're going to talk about how to turn your super into a pension. Doesn't that happen automatically?
Well, you would think so. And of late, I've had some wonderful assumptions fed to me as gospel because the ladies at work said, and the blokes digging the trenches said, and the doctor told me that. And it always baffles me as to the assumptions, good, bad, and indifferent, that people have in relation to what happens. And you're spot on. It doesn't happen automatically because there is nothing that says you must start a pension. Now, as we've discussed in previous shows, there are some significant benefits to starting a pension. Some of them are, but not limited to, the ability to have tax-free earnings inside your account. The ability to access money over the age of 60 on a tax-free basis, paid to you regularly. And as we touched on in the previous show, the word pension does not automatically mean fortnight. And I think that's the biggest thing I'd like people to take from today is starting a pension is simply taking off your accumulation hat, which you've been wearing over your working life. We're accumulating money. We're putting it in for the benefit of later. Well, now later's arrived and we've said, hey, I've met a condition of release, which means I've reached my Commonwealth preservation age. I've put my hand up and said, I have ceased gainful employment. Now, once you've done that, you can approach your fund and say, hey, Mr. Superfund, I would really like to take some money out. And the two key ways that you can do that, one is a lump sum, which doesn't necessitate the commencement of a pension. And the second is to start an income stream, otherwise known as a pension. When we use the word income stream, all we are simply referring to is the withdrawal of money as an income stream over a period of time. And that period of time is generally the financial year from July to June and in a frequency that suits you. Would I like it weekly? Would I like it fortnightly, monthly, quarterly, or annually? Or do I not need it? Because you might have retired. You might have some rental properties. You might have some cash in your own name and you think, well, markets are a little bit up and down at the moment. I'll just let it grow a little bit more before I start taking money out. And that is also completely fine. There is nothing that says you must start a pension. It is an option for you to consider once you've met a condition of release or a set of rules in relation to retirement. Now, I hear some weird and wonderful things around how and when and what and the flexibilities of doing so. You can start a pension and go back to work. Big misconception. Oh, I've started a pension now. Oh, I can't go back to work. Yes, you can. If you're over 60 and you've ceased a form of gainful employment, I'll go you one better. You can quit one of two jobs, keep one full time and still start a pension. Now, those rules are slightly different if you're under 60, but there aren't a lot of people under 60 now because of the age brackets in relation to the condition of release. They're starting to move past that bracket. Those that are going to retire have generally retired. There are some exceptions, so don't call in and say, oh, I'm one of those, generally speaking. The other big upside of commencing a pension is that there are no earnings tax. There's no earnings tax inside the fund and there's no capital gains tax. So another huge advantage of commencing a pension is your tax rate inside your fund is zero. That can come down from 15%. That's very beneficial. And you can sell assets in a pension and pay no capital gains tax. If you sell assets inside a super fund, then there is potentially capital gains tax to be paid, depending on how long you've owned that asset and what you've done in relation to buying and selling other investments in the past. Because as people may be aware, you can carry forward losses inside a structure to your betterment. So they're the primary reasons why you would start a pension. How do we physically do it? So we approach our superannuation provider and we ask them for our account-based pension or transition to retirement pension paperwork. And a transition to retirement, as we've discussed in previous shows, is simply commencing an income stream whilst still remaining in the workforce and being over your Commonwealth preservation age. The primary difference is that you don't get those tax concessions that I spoke about before, and you can only take a maximum of 10% under the transition to retirement rules. All pensions that you commence demand that you take the minimum for age. 55 to 64, 4%. 65 to 74, 5%. And as you get older, that percentage increases over time. You must draw that minimum between the commencement date of the pension and the 30th of June in that financial year. Or if it's been in place for a number of years, from 1 July to 30 June. Doesn't matter when you take it, but you must take it to benefit from all of those tax considerations that we spoke about earlier. To physically commence the pension, you complete the paperwork with the super fund. They will ask you things like, have you met a condition of release? And if you have, which one have you met? How much would you like paid as a pension? When would you like that pension paid? And where would you like that pension paid? So you need to provide things like a declaration of retirement. You'll need to provide frequency of benefit. You'll need to provide the amount that you want. Generally speaking, if you don't provide an amount, they will give you the minimum by default. And then you need to tell them where you want it paid. Some funds will let you choose where the money comes from in relation to, is it coming out of cash? Is it coming out of the bank account of the super fund? Is it coming out of the fixed interest sector first? Where do we sell down assets as a priority to fund that? So you do have some other asset allocation considerations depending on the provider that you're with. I think strategically it makes a lot of sense to keep a year's worth of pension money in the bank because it gives you some protection around short-term volatility and preventing or reducing the need for you to sell assets at a time that may not be opportune to be able to then fund pension payments to meet lifestyle costs. So as long as you adhere to the paperwork requirements, and you must in this instance do a very good job of adhering to the paperwork because they are very strict in relation to the declarations and the things that you provide, but it is something that is fairly easy to do and not overly complicated when it comes to kicking off your initial amounts of income, which you can always change each financial year or at any time, provided your fund allows it.
One of the more surprising things that I've learned in these discussions is that when you start taking money out of your superannuation, whether it's in the form of the pension or even as a lump sum, you can, in fact, actually put it back into superannuation and get a tax deduction.
Yeah, 100%. We've spoken about recontribution strategies in the past, and you're exactly right. I think that's another great misconception. I've left the workforce. Well, now I can't put money into super. Yes, you can. And the two ways you put it in, deductible, not deductible. So great strategy. Good to know you're listening.
Somebody has to.
use a pension strategy to get money out of your accumulated super and then use that money to put it back into another fund to claim a tax deduction. Great recontribution strategy leading into 30 June. And the reason you need another fund, for those that go, well, why can't you just put it back into that same account? Once you've commenced an income stream, you can't add capital to it without winding back to accumulation phase. And there's some paperwork faffery that's involved in that, and it can be a little bit of a hassle and a bit of a pain. So it's a lot easier to just open another fund, make the contribution into another fund, because you may return to the workforce. You may make contributions in the future because you've sold an asset. You may want to use the catch-up legislation. Here's one, if we really stretch it on a Friday, you might, and I had this instance this week, you might make a huge pension payment out of your account, get your balance way down, that could make you eligible for the catch-up concessional legislation to then make a really big, like $100,000 tax deduction because you're going to sell an asset in your own name and you want to try and mitigate capital gains tax. So whilst we think pension, we think retirement, living money, golfing money, mahjong money, boat money, new golf club money, whatever it is, also think strategically. Great funding mechanism to pay off non-deductible debt if you're over 60. Great way to pay some school fees. No tax over 60, as I said, coming out. A lot better than paying it with after-tax salary. Great way to fund contributions to lower your taxable income. So don't always think pension means retirement. Pension also means cash for financial strategies, which could help me from a broader tax position. So keep your mind open. Think about where you can use that legislation and use it to your advantage. As I said at the start, there's nothing stopping you from starting a pension and then going back to work and having wages and pension money at the same time. Could be a great way to do 3 days a week, which was why they started the transition to retirement legislation in the first place. So use it to your advantage, be strategic, and take advantage of those tax concessions, because everybody loves tax-free money.
Oh, they certainly do. So what should people keep in mind when it comes to actually starting a pension?
Yeah, I think the first thing is understand your provider's rules and regs, because if you want a weekly pension and they don't offer that, doesn't matter how much you complain and moan and whinge, they're not going to change how they operate. So you might need to move to a fund that gives you the flexibilities that you're after. Look at total super balances and the rules around maximizing the capital value of your super before you start a pension. Also think about, if you are going to add money to the super environment before you start a pension, think about the taxable and tax-free components, because the next generation, i.e. your children, will thank you, because there are some really good strategies there about tax minimization from an estate planning perspective to avoid adult children incurring 17% tax on your passing. So think about that. Think about selling assets in pension phase, because as I mentioned, they are tax-free vehicles up to set legislation thresholds. But under 1.9 million, you've got the ability to start a pension and then sell some very tax-advantaged assets and pay no capital gains tax, which isn't available in superannuation to the same extent. So think about how you manage your assets. Get your paperwork correct and understand what you need to live on. I find people start an income stream and say, I need a pension now. And I ask them, how much do you need to live? And they go, oh, I don't know. A little bit difficult to try and plan something if you don't know what you need. Be a bit like turning up at the Bowser and going, oh, is it diesel? Is it petrol? Is it electric? Am I plugging it in? Am I squeezing this trigger? Is this? Know what you're working with. Understand what you need and then structure your pensions accordingly. And remember that going back to work on a part-time basis, for me, you're still retired. You're just choosing to use your brains and stay engaged in the community and be thinking and stay sharp. And if that means you do one contract a year because you want to, you can. Don't just assume that because you've started a pension, you can never go back to work. You definitely can. And I think for people's well-being, their mental health, their social engagement, doing a little bit of work, you know, COVID taught us that staying at home doing nothing is actually a lot harder than it sounds. And I often find that people go back and want to be part of something. So use a pension to try and limit the amount of time that you need to spend in the workforce to meet your living costs. So it's a great way to fund that. Maximize your franking credits in a pension, because it's a tax-free vehicle and the refund of franking credits can be very beneficial. If you're not in a super fund that allows you to control the franking credits, think about moving to one that does, because that can have a significant uplift in the amount of income that's generated within your pension each year. So some of those key things there are really addressing why commencing a pension is great. But as we touched on previously, understand your paperwork, be diligent, be accurate, get that into your fund and know what you're working with your relevant provider, and use their flexibilities and their options to your advantage. But primarily, also remember that you need to know where the money is coming from out of your account. If your fund by default is selling down your Australian shares to pay your pension, you might want to have a chat to them and say, look, can you take it out of this sector or that sector? Or hold a year's cash in the bank so that you're not selling assets at all, and then use the dividends to bolster that cash account to fund your lifestyle, whatever it may be. So there's a bit to consider, but I think a lot of people can do this on their own bat. And with a little bit of help, they can definitely move in a positive direction.
Fantastic. Luke Smith from Envision Financial is with me in the studio today. We're talking about how to turn your super into a pension. It's 10 to 5. Back with more in just a moment.
Canberra's number one for news, opinion and entertainment. Thanks to Bloomer's Lawyers. Canberra Live with Leon Delaney.
on 2CC.
Well, it's about 7 minutes to five. Luke Smith from Envision Financial is with me in the studio today, and we're talking about how to turn your super into a pension. So, Luke, what are the key things to remember?
Yeah, so if we were going to make a list, the first one would be you must meet a condition of release. So depending on your year of birth and your age, you must meet that condition of release, and that condition of release says that I've ceased gainful employment. If you're under 60, that definition says that you don't intend to ever work more than 10 hours a week. If you're over 60, it says a form of gainful employment has ended. So as we said before the ad break, if you have two jobs and you quit one, you're well within your rights to start an income stream. Make sure that you understand how your product provider is going to offer you a pension. A pension does not mean fortnight. A pension can be at any frequency that suits your lifestyle, from weekly to annually and anything in between, provided that your superannuation fund permits it. Make sure that your paperwork is tight, correct, accurate, and on time, because funds may or may not pay benefits on certain days. And if you want your pension to start on the 1st of every month and you submit your paperwork on the 28th of the previous month, you might be sadly mistaken thinking that you'll get a pension payment in a couple of days. So allow some time to let things get set up, because it's not an immediate action. It'll take a bit of time, and there's some faffing around to be done to try and get that in place. Maintain a super fund that allows you to control your income. I find if you can control the dividends in your portfolio, you have a greater likelihood of meeting the majority of your pension drawings with dividend income. So it's very important that you're in the right type of fund. Make sure that you sell assets in pension phase, because it is a capital gains tax free environment up to certain thresholds. So check those, sell things and maximize the capital growth that you've achieved over the life of your super fund. Try and make sure that you maximize the use of franking credits, because they are refunded to you in a pension because there's no tax to pay in that structure. And then think about the pension not just as a retirement vehicle, but also as a strategic funding vehicle for payments for deductions, increasing accumulation accounts, paying off non-deductible debt, reducing your work hours using the transition to retirement rules. And the last one is ensure you draw the minimum required for your age under the legislation so that you benefit from all of those tax concessions inside the pension account. So there's a few things there that are mandatory. There are a few things there that are strategically benefit most people. And also then think about how you can use the cash flow and the access to capital to your advantage, either from a lifestyle perspective or from a tax minimization perspective, if you're selling assets in your own name and you want to try and address capital gains tax. Also ensure that you understand the thresholds and some of the limits that are contingent on access. But I think most people can get a handle on that very easily. And most funds now provide a lot of information around the rules and how they can do it. So check with your provider to see what your options are, so that you can make some really good informed decisions prior to ceasing work and be comfortable that the pension that you can get hold of is going to be right for you in retirement.
So, Luke, where can listeners get more information?
Yeah, office number 6260-4749. I think we've got some spots left before the Christmas break. We've got envisionfinancial.com.au on the internet. We've got the podcast, The Strategy Stacker, Luke Talks Money on iTunes and Spotify. We've got Envision Financial Canberra on YouTube, where we've got all of the shows and the key takeouts. We've got some YouTube shorts. We've got the Strategy Stacker handle on the Tiki Tocker. And all of these types of pension strategies are in Smart Money Strategy, your ultimate guide to financial planning, which is in all good bookstores, Amazon and Booktopia.
Sensational. We'll catch you again next Friday.
See you next week.
Luke Smith from Envision Financial. News is next.